It was built by William Anderson, who lived in Melbourne, and it was originally installed in Holy Trinity, Kew. And in 1879, when the organ itself was built, and then later in 1902, the Turang Presbyterian Church decided that they wanted a larger instrument, so they were able to buy this one and have it installed in 1902. We don't know how it got here. We can only surmise that it might have come up by the train and then maybe bullock dray from the station up to the church.
Yes, I'm just wondering how you would have carted something like this. Presumably it would have all been taken apart and then reassembled when it got here.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in some ways, it's a very complex instrument, and yet the principle of air going through pipes is a very basic principle.
So in terms of organs, what does this one represent then? How special or interesting or rare is this particular one?
Well, this one's quite rare in the sense that it's a mechanical organ, so you have direct control of the opening of the pellets which sit underneath the pipes, which make, of course, the sound when the pellets are open. So you have direct contact. It's one of only two that are still in its original state. It hasn't been altered, except it has been restored in the last couple of years, back to what it would have been more or less in 1902.
Now, there are some symbols along the top of the organ, just above the keyboards. Is there any particular significance to those?
William Anderson, the organs that he made are quite distinctive. They're what you call a post and rail. So you've got two end posts and a rail that connects the two, and then the pipes in front. The detail that he has given on the rail itself, which is high up in going across the pipes, are called quatrefoils. The fretwork below, which obviously does have some symbolism, he's not very clear as to what we're not certain, I should say, what the symbolism is. Obviously, there is the cross that's featured in a circle, but there's also a triangle incorporating three circles, and that is a bit of a mystery. Whether it might be something Masonic or what, we don't know. But William Anderson himself was a very staunch Presbyterian, so maybe there might be something of the Celtic reason for having what he's put into the fretwork itself.
Now, as an organist, then, what does this particular organ have to offer? What are the interesting or perhaps different features of it, perhaps when you're playing?
Well, we've got an oboe rank, which is quite a fine oboe rank, and added to the rest of the stops, it gives a lovely full-bodied sound, certainly for supporting the congregation. We have a couple of lovely flute stops, and combined with one particular stop, which is called a 12th, which is slightly out of tune with the rest, gives a lovely piquant sound to the say a piece of music that might have requires a solo stop. It's a flat pedal board, which would have been very much coming from the German tradition. And we have two manuals, or two keyboards, and about 15 speaking stops.
Now, in terms of organ technology at the time then, when this was built, did this represent any... was this a very cutting-edge kind of instrument?
Well, I suppose the cutting edge possibly came from the 15th, 16th century. So really, it's not cutting edge in the 19th century when it was built. Yeah. But, of course, it is still basically what you would compare with organs in Europe and the earlier organs in England as well. Unfortunately, in the 60s, a lot of these mechanical organs, particularly in the southwest, were changed to electro-pneumatic, which meant that you didn't have that sort of... You felt you weren't really playing an organ as such. And But anyway, that's a personal opinion.
So does that mean, as an organist, that you have to, I don't know, is it harder in some way? Obviously the feel is a bit different, I'd imagine.
Yes, it is. It is a heavier action, though you can lighten it. There's screws that you can actually lighten the touch. It's really more heavy when the two manuals are coupled together, so you're drawing down two sets of keyboards. And then, of course, you've got the pedals as well. So they're also drawing down from the keyboard onto the pedals. And so, yes, the action can be or is a little bit heavier, and therefore you have to play accordingly. You can't just play something that's absolutely fast. Mm. You know, you've got to play it a little bit slower so you get all the notes in and all the rest of it.
And possibly a bit more physical as well then?
Oh, yes, physical, yes. Yeah, strong fingers and thumbs.
Now, I'm presuming when it was first built that it wouldn't have, that it would have required somebody to actually do the pumping as well to get the air into it, did it?
Yes, precisely. In fact, interestingly enough, when we were restoring the panels around the organ case along the side, there's quite a number of names that were carved into the panelling by the organ blowers. And, of course, we noticed also that when the indication that there wasn't enough air in the bellows was when a little bob, which was attached to a piece of string, came out of the side of the organ case. If that happened to rise too high, it just meant that there was no wind in the bellows, so they had to keep pumping. The interesting thing is that we also have one on the console so that the organist could see how much wind he had in the bellows too. So if he could see it was going up too high, all he had to do was look around the corner and poke the organ bellow pumper in the ribs and say, get on with it, I need some air.
What do you think would have been the harder job, keeping the air right or playing the organ?
I think a bit of both, actually. A bit like a chamber quartet or trio, you've got to work together. But, of course, I believe that the organ pumper used to get paid something, so that was an incentive to keep the thing going.
You wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of the pumper if you were playing, would you? You could be in all sorts of trouble.
Well, I believe one story was that the organ pumper did actually disappear and was left. The congregation was left without the organ sounding. So
I imagine people can hear the organ being played as a part of the regular services here in Terang. But there's also an opportunity tonight to hear it being played as well.
Yes, that's right. Yes, Dominic Perisonato is coming to play from WA, and looking forward to that. And hopefully we might encourage other organists to come down in the future. And well, we'll see what happens. But certainly the organ itself is played regularly every Sunday.
Is it an organ or an instrument which people, you know, organists do seek out as well? When they come here, are they interested to have a go and have a look at this one?
Yes. We have actually said to people up in Melbourne who are organists to certainly come down, and they're most welcome to have a play at it. And it's just a matter of giving me a call so I can be here to open up.